Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Wow, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Oh, man, it is so great to have you all join us here today. We are going to bring an amazing hour of, let me just say, one of the most informative talk subjects that I have done in a really long time. Thanks to my very special guest, Dr. Lucinda Mesa. We are going to be talking about underactive thyroid, the hidden epidemic. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But here's what I want to just start out by telling everybody. You all have been listening to me talk about an unprecedented event that we are going to participate in on September 9th, 10th, and 11th. Thanks to the vision of a Seattle firefighter, his name is Eric Lawyer, he is, out of his own personal funds, putting on a three-day event, 2 days in Seattle and on the internet webcast everywhere, September 9th and 10th, workshops, panels, you name it. And then on September 11th, a full day at Seattle Center and Memorial Stadium, and again, webcast live everywhere, to help all of us shift from fear to love. So I want to encourage all of you to get the word out. Go visit the website, oneonetheevent.org. OneTheEvent.org. Make sure you're following on Facebook /OneBecomingOne, or go to the Dr. Pat Show, and there's lots of information. The time is now for all of us to create this shift. Now, I want to tell you about Dr. Messer. You talk about somebody that works with people every day that are coming into her office that show up with some of the most horrific conditions and symptoms in the body. And she is someone, this doctor has said yes to helping people get to that place of unprecedented health and wellness by her phenomenal education, her practice, her knowledge, and more importantly for me, her passion to do that. She's joining me as a national award-winning author of Powerful Medicine, Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis. She is a vitamin D expert and a super naturopathic physician. She specializes in women's health, anti-aging medicine, integrative oncology, bioidentical hormone replacement, and let me just tell you, overall wellness. Her amazing message is about harnessing that miraculous thing that we call life and body, taking care of everything about ourselves, learning about vitamin D, and most importantly, battling some of the most serious diseases on the planet. Whether you're sick with a cold, or you're diagnosed with autoimmune disease, or cancer, or depression, this is someone that has stepped up to the plate to help many people. And so today, we're going to get to hear from her. But here are some things to ponder. Have you suspected that your thyroid is underactive, but you've been told by your healthcare practitioner that it's just fine? You know, almost always, you're probably told that it's in your head as well. Do you have unusual fatigue, poor motivation, poor hair growth? Well, you're going to find out why you're not alone, why you're one of millions that have been underdiagnosed for having low thyroid. You're going to find out what that's about and why this is a serious issue. This is not simply about an old conversation about the thyroid. Let me just tell you why. You will find studies now, statistics, facts that are now being brought to the surface about 50% of depression being caused by undiagnosed thyroid condition. You're going to hear about that and much more. What it is about obesity that is causing so many people to scratch their heads. So today, we are taking it all on. You're going to get a conversation about the ranges, about what's true, what's not true, about synthetic versus natural. And more importantly, you're going to get some information on what you can do for yourself. Dr. Messer, it is so great to have you on the show. Thank you for taking this conversation right out there to the public.
Thanks, Dr. Pat, for having me. I'm so excited about this subject.
You know, I briefly mentioned a bit about depression and thyroid, and you know, we have not even scratched the surface on this topic. We're now starting to get information about what happens to the body, especially around underactive thyroid. Before we begin, let's jump into explaining what we mean when we say underactive thyroid and why this is a hidden epidemic.
Yes, indeed. It is a huge, hugely hidden epidemic, and that's because simply that low thyroid levels are usually at the heart, at the very core of most all diseases, and very misdiagnosed, very undiagnosed. In fact, it can be underlying most diseases such as chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, heart disease, high cholesterol, PMS, heavy periods, headaches, depression, chronic pain conditions, and also fertility, and there are many more. It's hidden because really physicians and health practitioners don't really know how to look for it. Most normal blood panels do not show any abnormalities. The TSH is normal. So you're left thinking from your health care practitioner that everything's just fine, there's not an issue, and people scratch their heads, walk out the door, and think, oh, it's not my thyroid. That is a confusion, and that is a real, real issue.
Okay, so what we're really talking about here is getting people some answers to what may be a mystery for them in their lives. All they know is they just don't feel well.
Oh, absolutely. People are left thinking there's nothing wrong with them, and then they might go onto the internet and indeed search with all these symptoms and find out, yes, indeed. So some common symptoms of underactive thyroid are weight gain, fatigue, muscle pain, just poor concentration, poor focus, poor memory, maybe just a small tendency to weight gain, usually dry skin, constipation. It doesn't mean that each person has all these symptoms. Everybody's a little bit different. In fact, it's kind of more hidden with vague symptoms a lot of times when you're younger, because people, when they're younger, they still have a pretty good amount of energy. A lot of times they'll just have cold extremities or a little bit of dry skin, or their hair is just kind of falling out and not doing so well. So it is a very difficult thing to diagnose and to look at. Like I said, doctors are not commonly trained to look for what we call these subclinical issues with your thyroid. Subclinical means does not show up on clinical blood work or clinical labs. It does not show up. The ranges, it's all fitting inside the normal ranges, and that's why the confusion. Most doctors will commonly order a thyroid-stimulating hormone, a.k.a. TSH, and if the numbers fit inside the range, usually of the range being 0.3 all the way to 5.5, then the patient's labeled normal and told that they're just fine, go home, there's nothing wrong. It may be if the patient insists on doing something, they'll get an antidepressant, which is common because most patients that are fatigued and, you know, a little bit lethargic, mentally lethargic, maybe mild depression, well, the physician thinks, well, the thyroid's fine, it must just be they're depressed, so they're handed an antidepressant. It's very common to see these patients, especially women, come into my office with antidepressants because the doctor couldn't figure it out. whereas if you go to a healthcare practitioner that has studied functional medicine, perhaps a naturopathic doctor that knows functional medicine well, or an anti-aging physician, they'll be more on the hunt for this issue and order appropriate tests, as well as really listen to their patients' complaints. And so even though their TSH is coming back normal and everything looks okay, the patient is still complaining of a lot of subclinical hypothyroidism, then perhaps these doctors will then order the more appropriate tests, and I'll go into the more appropriate tests in a few moments.
You know, you've got to be as shocked as I am, Dr. Messer, about some of the studies. I was looking at a study earlier this week. A couple of studies show that up to 50% of depression is caused by an undiagnosed thyroid condition. And an ongoing mental illness. I mean, oh my God, that is so shocking, isn't it?
Extremely shocking. The thyroid levels need to be really optimal for people to have good, healthy brain activity. It's amazing. The good levels of triiodothyronine, which is T3 in our brain, helps the neuronal synapses actually connect and increase the speed. Whereas if you're low in the most active thyroid hormone in your body, namely T3, your whole brain decelerates, and your concentration, your body can't put together things as well. You forget names. You just cannot think as quickly as one would if their levels were optimal. It causes a lot of brain fatigue, and when that happens, we go into depression. And even though it's not maybe a suicidal ideation depression, it's usually just mental fatigue and no motivation. Most common symptom of depression, of low thyroid, is low motivation. And again, these are people coming in with these normal TSHs, so it's very confusing to most everybody. Other things the body thyroid does in the body is increase the basal metabolic rate.
Yeah.
It really increases the cellular rate in our mitochondria. It helps to burn fat. Interestingly enough, people that don't have enough active levels of T3 have a lot more muscle fatigue. They don't have enough cellular AMP, which is a muscle fuel, so they have a lot more muscle fatigue and sometimes heavy. They'll feel like they have heavy limbs. And they also have a decreased rate of neuronal synapse, like firing. The firing in their brain is much, much less, much more reduced. They might have decreased smooth muscle activity if their thyroid is not optimal. And also the gut, the smooth muscle in the gut slows down. So if your thyroid levels are not optimal, namely T3, then you're tend to be more constipated. And also really affects the ovaries in women. So women tend to have more ovarian dysfunction. They might miss a cycle or two cycles or more. And then when they get a cycle, they might have a very heavy, crampy cycle. That's a classical sign of low ovarian function, and the thyroid rules your ovaries. And oftentimes women that just can't get pregnant, once the thyroid has been optimized, guess what? They get pregnant. And voila, you know, you don't have to get all these expensive Clomid procedures. Basically, make sure your thyroid's working optimally first. Also, thyroid is just optimal, and thyroid must be optimal because in the body, it's synergistic to all other hormones. For instance, if your thyroid levels are low, and I'm mainly talking free levels of triiodothyronine, T3, if your T3 is low, then commonly progesterone and estrogen are not working well in the body. So women commonly especially are affected with their cycles when their thyroid is low. Very common. They'll miss cycles. They'll have a cycle. They'll have difficult cycles, off PMS, etc., because thyroid levels, T3, and progesterone and estrogen are intimately enmeshed with one another and have to be optimal to really work well.
And, you know, let's talk about this in terms of women versus men, because, you know, I was reading that, I mean, this is a phenomenon that women need to get educated about, because I think the rate of these symptoms is close to 10 times greater in women than in men. But we don't, as women, we don't even know the right questions to ask. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Very common for women to have this issue, mostly because of how our brain handles stress, and we are very prone and vulnerable to hormone dysfunction, especially thyroid, because we have this huge limbic system in our brain. The limbic center is much bigger than man, so that's when you're talking about the difference there. We have a larger limbic system in our brain, right on top of our hypothalamus, and this means that when we are stressed, our thyroid gets stressed. Our whole endocrine system shuts down, gets erratic, etc. That's why if you've noticed when women have a lot of stress, they skip their cycles or they have really heavy ones, it becomes erratic. It's because stress really rules this. Very important that we learn how to control our stress more than men, because we are affected more, much more by stress because of our limbic system. Our limbic system rules our body. So that's why the big difference there. Men get low thyroid too. It's just that it's not as commonly seen. But I certainly see it. They certainly get affected by stress as well. They just don't have the huge limbic system. So it's probably just a little bit less than us. And then also we have all these hormones that seem to be really important for thyroid, namely the adrenal hormones, cortisol. So when our cortisol is high, basically shuts down our total conversion. And an example of this is you not only have to look at the TSH, but it's very important when you're in your doctor's office that you ask for a free T4 and a free T3. And then look at the higher optimal ranges too. It's not good anymore. It's not a good idea just to look at a TSH at all. So you need to have good production levels of thyroid hormone. I'll say above 0.9 for sure, maybe 1.0 or a little higher. You also need to have a good free level of triiodothyronine, which is the conversion product. And that should be at least 3.2 or higher. And if someone is stressed, the next test that should be tested is what we call a reverse T3. That's because when we're stressed, especially women, we tend to make the storage form of active thyroid. We don't make T3 anymore. We actually make what we call reverse T3, and our bodies can't use reverse or T3, we call it, in the same way we would use the healthy optimal T3. So all these things need to be looked at in your doctor's office, and hopefully they'll order it for you, and then looked at differently as well.
So you know, somewhere along the line, we have a missing link, meaning that you know the studies are coming out on how folks are being either underdiagnosed, misdiagnosed, or not diagnosed at all. I mean, in a lot of cases, from a practitioner, a healthcare practitioner point of view, you know, they're not even going to run those panels on people unless people speak up. So, you know, what's going on in terms of healthcare practitioners? Are they not being trained? What's happening here?
Oh, yes. Mainstream medicine does not train an MD or an osteopath to look at underlying issue. When you go to medical school, they're taught that the for instance, we're talking about thyroid right now, so the TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone, must fit inside this particular range. And we're talking about free a TSH being fitting into anywhere between 0.3 all the way over to 5.5. So if the patient comes in and their TSH is within this range, they're automatically looked at as normal. They don't consider anything else. If the person fits outside this range, even one iota on either side, they're considered having a thyroid issue, which is kind of funny. They don't look at the continuum. So functional medicine physicians, we look at all the underlying reasons for a disorder. We never look at a TSH only. If your physicians only look at a TSH, they just don't know what they're doing. Honestly, they don't. They don't have a full training to look. So you want to be able to talk to a functional medicine physician or an anti-aging physician to really look at these levels. It basically comes down to training. You want to find someone that will look into the subclinical. And like I said, it's very difficult to find. And people come in with thyroid issues all the way from Hashimoto's, or they might just have a conversion disorder. So levels such as autoantibody for their thyroid, the TPOs, must be looked at. That's very important. If the TPOs are high, that means they have an autoimmune thyroid. So that should be included in the test, as well as a free T4, a free T3, of course, a TSH to look at that, and then perhaps a reverse T3 if the patient is stressed.
Can you describe a little bit about what you just described, that when you said an autoimmune thyroid? I had never heard that term before.
Yes, autoimmune thyroid is another term for that is Hashimoto's. And Hashimoto's is a term they use for when there are antibodies floating around in the bloodstream that are anti the thyroid. So that means there are antibodies being produced in the body that are attacking our own tissue, our own very own thyroid. It's an autoimmune condition. It's quite prevalent. And in the allopathic world, it's just kind of a big unknown. We know it's autoimmune, but most people don't know why. A lot of different research is going on now, and most alternative physicians are of the mind that autoimmune or Hashimoto's is more linked to gluten issues.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's gluten intolerance that you might have. You don't need to have celiacs, but you can certainly have a gluten intolerance. When people have gluten intolerance, the gluten antibodies can go across and cause a lot of issues in the body, and thyroid can certainly be one. Whereas once it gloms onto the thyroid, the immune complex, the body sends out the immune system to attack it. So that could very well be a gluten issue. The other one I know of is when someone has an overgrowth of yeast or candida in their bloodstream or in their gut, the antibodies, the yeast can swim outside into the bloodstream. The immune complex is made, and then it swims over to the different areas. But the thyroid's another issue. There's another area where the autoimmune, the antibody can sit there, and then the immune system can attack it. So those are usually the underlying factors for it. And sometimes they say it's genetic. I do happen to see it more in women. I see it in men too, but mostly women.
Uh-huh.
And usually cleaning up the diet, making sure they are yeast-free, making sure they're not having gluten issues, maybe do a stool test, gliadin test, make sure they have no gluten issues or just take them off gluten, and then monitoring the antibody levels. Other things you can do, just clean up the bloodstream, have people take more enzymes to destroy the antibodies in the bloodstream. But basically it's usually more having to do with the gut, with the autoimmune. So most naturopaths know this and try to clean things up. So that's different.
You know, along the lines of what you said about hereditary, you know, there's this statistic floating around out there that 1 in every 4,000 babies are born with congenital hypothyroidism. And, I mean, you know, so what we're talking, I mean, that's got to be shocking, isn't it?
You know, it is shocking, but I think it's just malnutrition in the mom. And also,
yeah,
if the mom is deficient in amino acids, if she's deficient in iodine, iodine's an important precursor for the thyroxine to T4 production. And it's also a very important helper, synergist for the conversion of T4 to T3. So iodine is really important, and I imagine that's part of it. Also, obviously, if someone's extremely deficient, they can get something like cretinism, but usually it's more subclinical. It's mild, and so people don't get it. I've noticed a plethora of younger adults coming into my practice in the last few years with low thyroid too. Just amazing, like 12, 13, 14. I've seen it
in
8-year-olds, 9-year-olds. I'm appalled. I'm just appalled that they have it already. So it's either a low production level, and because when you have a low production, obviously you have low conversion as well. So it's a real issue. So basically what I do is I clean up their diet, make sure the gluten's down, make sure there's no yeast, and do nutritional support. Many, many things can cause production issues, and many things can cause conversion issue. So I look at all the levels and try to figure out what's causing what. But it's not uncommon anymore to see it in young people.
And you know, the reason that you're appalled by it, and I'm certainly alarmed by it, is because, you know, we're talking about what that leads to. you know, and you briefly touched upon that, because aren't we now looking at, you know, the risk for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, other things? I mean, you know, so this isn't just a conversation about the thyroid. You know, this is a conversation about ultimately some other, you know, systems that are affected by this, it ultimately causing death.
Well, yeah, and what gets me is so many people will come in and they're obese, or they have chronic fatigue and they've been to the Mayo Clinic and they've been to the University of Washington and they've been to several high, you know, Harvard, the School of Medicine. They've been to the top guys and they're not finding the little basic thyroid issues. They just tend to look for the big guns and look for, you know, do the MRIs and such and really ignore the little things like thyroid. So chronic fatigue is a big one. Patients that come in fatigued for years, and their physicians don't look at this. They have them on, antidepressants, maybe some muscle relaxants. They're getting massage, maybe some acupuncture, but they're not really addressing the issue. Those patients, by the way, usually have underlying adrenal issues as well. People that have chronic fatigue, they've been chronically fatigued for years. Commonly, they'll have hypoadrenalism. They'll have adrenal dysfunction, and adrenal dysfunction and low thyroid go hand in hand. So we always treat the adrenals as well. Do adrenal support, and you treat the thyroid as well. And also fibromyalgia, another big one. People with chronic muscle pain, chronic joint pain, neuropathies, very common symptom of hypothyroidism. I saw a patient the other day, 49-year-old. She had been through 5-6 years of chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia pain, headaches, depression, difficult periods, really bad PMS, erratic cycles, difficulty losing weight, dry skin. Went to the Mayo Clinic and ran through all the tests there, came to the University of Washington. She had been under the care for at least 2-3 years of both clinics. She was still, when I met her 6 months ago, sleeping all the time. She just maybe was awake 5 hours a day.
Wow.
Her TSH was completely normal. I mean, maybe 2.0, maybe 1.8 wasn't abnormal.
Right.
No production of T4 was ever checked, and no conversion was ever checked, free T3. Maybe an autoimmune test was done, but there was no thyroid adjustment whatsoever. Also, her adrenals were low, so I found that too. But so just helping her thyroid, her free T4 came back borderline low, 0.9, and then her free T3, the conversion product came back at 2.5. Well, 2.5 is a level that most people can't really be awake with. 2.4, 2.5, those people are usually
wow.
bedridden. And indeed
wow.
she was. It was pretty amazing. So after 4 or 5 weeks, I met back with her 4 weeks later, she was up, you know, 12 hours, already 10 to 12 hours a day. I meet back with her and I adjusted her levels. You kind of tweak things and then you retest the levels to make sure they're working. So it's just amazing. She's one patient that all these symptoms were addressed. Her difficult periods started normalizing. Her PMS basically went away. Or she started losing weight.
Wow.
It's extremely significant. This person got her life back.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I was just going to say. I mean,
thyroid.
It's life-changing. This is what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, you literally saved somebody's life because there's no quality of life in that. We're going to take a short break. Dr. Lucinda Messer joining us here today. For those of you that want to find out more about Dr. Lucinda, go to her website, which is www.drlucinda.com, LUCINDA.com. When we come back, we're going to tackle synthetic versus natural. And this thing that we call in this country obesity. Let's take a short break. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. We'll be right back, everyone.
What if your best friend could take a peek into the future? Psychic, author, and cosmic coach Dougal Frazier is that friend. He's the queer guy with a third eye. From gossip to gurus, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Frazier Show is a call-in advice show that provides insights and information on creating your best life. Every Tuesday at 10, he'll take calls and talk about love, money, sex, pop culture, and give free advice. No topic is off limits. It's the Dougal Frazier Show.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer, even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer as she shares how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine, Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show, everybody. Wow. Got some exciting news here from Dr. Lucinda Messer, my very special guest today. Today she is taking on the conversation, underactive thyroid, the hidden epidemic. As I mentioned before, you can find out more about Dr. Messer by going to her site. But here's really the great news. She's actually going to be putting in her newsletter a lot of the information we're talking about today. So you want to go to her website, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, and it's drlucinda.com. That's DR. And, you know, this is what I mentioned to everybody before. You want to go to the website, www.drlucinda.com, drlucinda.com. While you're there, you're going to see her fabulous award-winning book, lots of information about her practice, but you're going to want to make sure you sign up for that newsletter because, you know, she sends lots of really life-changing information to so many people. She's so passionate about this. This is what she has said yes to in her life. Dr. Messer, before we kind of jump into obesity and a couple of other things, I just would love for you to, again, let our listeners know when they go into their doctors, practitioners, whoever they're going into, very specifically, what are the tests they should make sure they get?
Yes, Pat. So the TSH, that's a no-brainer. That's always done. T as in Tom, S as in Sam, H as in house, TSH. Mm-hmm. Then a free T3, or what we call F, like Frank, T T like Tom and the number 4. That's stands for free T4. And then a free T3. That's an F as in Frank, a T as in Tom, and the number 3. And a TPO, which is T as in Tom, P as in Paul, O as in office, TPO. That's the antibody we want to look at. And then a reverse T3 or just reverse, R-E-V-E-R-S-E, T3.
Excellent.
And this can be, the reverse T3 can be an expensive test. If your insurance doesn't pay for it, you might be spending over $200, so make sure your insurance will pay for that. That's something that's
beautiful.
Kind of, it's more prevalent in people who have chronic or a lot of stress in their lives. Over, I'll say, four to 6 weeks of chronic stress, you might want to check that one too.
Excellent.
Because the reverse T3 shows the storage form of T3. And if that's high, that means even if your T3 looks normal, FT3 looks normal, then it's a consideration. And then we call, then that is a sign of what we call subclinical hypothyroidism, because the body's actually not making T3. So that's, like I said, so all those are very important. Also, something to think about if you don't have insurance. There's two things we do at our office. I do a lot of online work and phone visits. So we can mail a rec form to any of your listeners, so that they can get their blood work done. If it's they don't have insurance or if it's too costly, we have extremely reduced prices for all labs through my office and online. So they can do it through us, and then they have they get a consult as well with that. So they get a free consult with myself to go over their labs if they have no one else that's
able
to look at the correct numbers and look at the ranges differently.
And get things sorted out. You know, that leads to, I know we touched upon this a little bit a few minutes ago, but it really does lead to, the reason for really getting this corrected. And that are the complications that can happen by not correcting, the thyroid issue. I mentioned a couple of them, but I think that, we're talking, more serious things that can be as a result of this. You know, what are you seeing come through your doors? I mean, you gave us one example, but I also mentioned heart risk, and especially for women. So should we be concerned?
Absolutely. If hypothyroidism, a subclinical hypothyroidism, so even the hidden one, is not discovered and addressed, people will go on and basically ignore it and thinking that it's something else, and they could certainly become obese, gain lots of weight because they're over 50 pounds at some commonly I've seen in my office. Heart disease also, because the heart muscle is dependent on T3, and it can become more sluggish. You can start gathering a lot more fat in your body. In general, high cholesterol is another big consequence of hypothyroidism. Very big consequence. Once the levels are more optimal, especially triiodothyronine, T3, then you see the LDLs coming down, potentially the HDLs coming up as well. So there's a huge link and association with high cholesterol and subclinical or hypothyroidism. And then depression. You know, if you just keep treating someone for depression with antidepressants and not really look at their underlying issues, which commonly it's thyroid is a part of it, at least. And maybe it's not the whole issue, but something to really look at. Because usually people, when their thyroid is more optimal, they are able to, commonly able to reduce their meds or not rely on them as much. And their brain is just more active, much more active. So it's very important to look at underlying issues. And even if you've been told that your thyroid is normal, it's fine, you certainly can't believe it unless you've gone to a physician who's well-trained in anti-aging medicine or functional medicine.
So when we look at all of these, let's just call it this web that is seems to be being weaved here, boy, I'll tell you, you know, this is really a call for all of us to get very, very educated about this. You know, what do you think our greatest challenge is right now?
Our greatest challenges are nutritional deficiencies, mostly, and really addressing those. And all the more reason to really look at your diet, look at your nutrition. As far as hypothyroidism is concerned, subclinical hypothyroidism, nutrients, the lack of nutrients is enormous. And people don't quite understand if they want normal thyroid activity that a proper iodine level should be had. Also making sure they're not anemic. Being microcytic anemia, having microcytic anemia could certainly cause more issues with thyroid and poor conversion. Just poor supplementation and poor nutrition in general. Other reasons for the thyroid being a real at risk is people have the chronic stress. The chronic stress increases your cortisol. High cortisol absolutely does not allow your body to convert the thyroxine to the T3. T4 cannot possibly convert in the peripheral tissues when your cortisol is high. Well, when people are stressed over 3 weeks at a time, we know that the hypothalamus, the hypothalamic pituitary axis, adrenal axis, basically is turned on in our brain and does not shut off. With that high cortisol, it's not going to allow T4 to convert to T3. So it's another big, real big issue, and trying to get people to understand that they have to deal with their stress, they don't quite get it. So looking at cortisol levels, trying to help people manage their stress is a huge challenge. If their adrenals are fatigued because they've been stressed for too long, then addressing the adrenal glands is something that's also underlooked commonly. Unless you're a functional medicine physician, you don't really understand what hypoadrenalism is. It's not Addison's disease. It's more subclinical as well. So people come in and their cortisol might still be making some cortisol, but their cortisol secretion is just not as optimal as it should be. You need to have good DHEA levels, a healthy level of cortisol, not too high, not too low, to make good, healthy ranges of thyroid. So all those things need to be looked at. Other challenges, foods. Making sure people have healthy diets that don't interfere with thyroid activity. And again, I mentioned gluten before. Gluten is probably one of the most prevalent, nasty thyroid poisons there are for many of us. So if you're gluten intolerant at all, good idea to stay away from it, especially if you don't want issues with thyroid or potentially autoimmune thyroiditis.
Well, let's take a minute and just describe to people a little bit of where you find gluten, because I think some people have heard the term gluten, but there are very few people that really understand that, you know, primarily a huge part of the American diet is filled with gluten. So let's just give people a couple of examples, because when you say gluten, you know, there are some foods that we can easily go to tell you, don't eat this, this is gluten.
Right. Yeah, gluten is the reason why it's nasty for thyroid. It's a vasoactive protein. It actually can cause a lot of issues in your body, more far-reaching than thyroid even, but certainly because it's so vasoactive, it actually causes migraines in patients.
Mm,
it can cause lots of inflammatory response in the gut mucosa. That's a big one. And even if it's not celiac, you can certainly still have an issue with that. So when people do a celiac test, they it'll either be positive or negative, and it's more that blood test that checks for celiac does not mean you don't have a gluten issue. It just means that you don't have celiac. Right. Doesn't mean you don't have an allergy or an antibody response or an immune response. It just means that you don't have a real gluten issue. So you can still have a gluten issue and have that negative celiac.
Okay.
Celiac refers to a very, very complicated disease, which, yes, one big part of it is gluten. So gluten is in wheat, rye, oats, and barley. And oats, usually, it's not as bad. It's more of a gliadin product, but certainly if you're very gluten sensitive, you also want to avoid oats. And you can also, at this point, order gluten-free oats. So then you won't have to worry about it as much.
Right.
If you don't have autoimmune thyroiditis and you don't seem to have gluten sensitivity, it's probably not such an issue. But if you have gluten sensitivity and you still don't have antibodies, I'd probably just watch it. You'd probably just
avoid
it most of the time.
Exactly. And read the labels, everybody.
Yeah.
This is what most of us have to do.
Yeah.
Soy is another one.
Right, and other products that have gluten, let me see, wheat, rye, oats, barley, millet, spelt, and the ones that are okay are rice, quinoa,
and brown rice.
I think that's mostly it, though.
Yeah. So let's get to this last conversation here that is quite controversial, I think. And that is synthetic versus natural correction. And give us a little insight as to what the differences are and why it has become controversial.
Well, quite simply, synthetic is the pharmaceutical company's product for low thyroid. For some reason, the pharmaceutical companies think or feel or have experience that hypothyroidism is a production issue alone. They are not looking at all the other reasons for low thyroid, including a production issue of T4 and a conversion issue. So synthetic is basically made in the lab. It's an analog of our own thyroid that we produce. They come as close as possible. The question is, why would they make that in the first place? If indeed you can purchase or come up with the natural thyroid in desiccated form, because at the beginning of the century, that's all we had was the natural desiccated thyroid. It's actually been taken from pig thyroid, basically desiccated, called armor thyroid, nature thyroid, west thyroid. Those are all the natural desiccated forms of, those are all different forms of natural desiccated thyroid. That's all we had. Well, the pharmaceutical companies started to become quite strong in the 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and basically since they cannot patent and produce and profiteer on a natural bioidentical hormone, they try to create a synthetic analog of that hormone that works. They know works. So their thinking is, well, let's create a synthetic. It's going to be obviously more optimal, And so they created this T4. Well, lo and behold, T4 does act in a similar fashion as our own synthetic. The real problem is it doesn't fit into our receptor site. If it doesn't fit into our own thyroid thyroxine receptor site, what's happening? Well, it tends to dominate the cell, and it does act. It does kind of take over. So people that are very deficient in T4 will notice somewhat of a difference. You know, they'll feel like, well, gosh, I do have a little bit more energy and such. But after several months, people also notice, you know, I just don't feel that much better. I know my thyroid was low and now it's better. My TSH has improved, et cetera. But people just never really feel much better. And that's because synthetic thyroid, levothyroid Synthroid, levothyroxine is synthetic and absolutely cannot convert into the natural thyroid, into natural T3 in our body. There's absolutely no way it can convert. It's biochemically impossible. Therefore, their T3 is still low. So my patients that come in with on synthetic, I check their T3s. There's no T3 conversion. They're usually 2.0, 2.4, 2.5 perhaps, but there's no conversion, which means that they still have a thyroid issue. They still have a they have a conversion disorder still. They're not able to make it. If their T4 is low, they take the synthetic. There's still no conversion. So in a sense, they're still hypothyroid. The most important thyroid is not being converted in the body, which is T3, because of the inability. So the difference is if you take a natural desiccated thyroid such as Armour or Naturethroid or Westheroid, any of those bioidentical thyroids, natural desiccated thyroids, have natural bioidentical T4, natural bioidentical T3. They even have little sub-coenzymes like T3 and T2 and T1 that the synthetics, of course, never would have. And lo and behold, those bioidentical T4s, T3s fit wonderfully inside our receptors. Our thyroid receptors depend on that. So the natural bioidentical thyroid fits right into the receptor site, and lo and behold, the lights turn back on. Things start working again, and the lights turn on, the factory starts working, everything is cool. My patients will come in, and within 2 or 3 weeks, they say, oh, my gosh, my brain's working.
Wow.
I'm warm again.
Wow.
I have libido.
Wow.
I feel great. My energy, I haven't felt this great in years.
Oh, my gosh.
All the difference, I'll take them off the synthetic, put them on the natural. It's because they finally have all the factors they haven't had for many years. So the difference is huge. It's synthetic versus natural. It's bioidentical. Bioidentical meaning the very same identical molecule that our own biochemistry makes or did make in the past. Our body's very familiar and very happy to and recognizes that bioidentical hormone. Whereas a synthetic, absolutely no identification, absolutely no recognition whatsoever, because there's no receptor site recognition. The synthetic hangs outside the receptor, very much stimulating it, and causing can cause actually a difficulty and actually turn off the production of your own natural. Whereas it's interesting, when I give a patient a bioidentical thyroid, their body starts resetting itself and body can start actually making more of its own thyroid and T4 and T3 as well.
Oh my gosh. You know, this is for many people. This is a lot of information. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, this is such an important show, Dr. Messer. For those of you tuning in, Dr. Lucinda Messer is my very special guest. I want to make sure that folks know how to get a hold of you. And certainly sign up for the newsletter. You're going to get a lot of information that we talked about today. You can go to Dr. Messer's website, go to drlucinda.com. Also, you know, what is your office number for people that want to find out more about you, about what you do, and how to get some help here?
My office number is 425-827-9770. I believe I have an 866 number, too.
Well, let's just say, okay, good. You have an 8, good, great.
I think it's 866. 827-9770. So it's toll free.
Well, you know, this has been a great show, and I just want to wrap up by asking you one last question, Dr. Messer, and thank you so much for joining me here today. Wow. What actions can people take? What would you like to leave people with, your personal message for today?
My message to people is to be proactive about their health in general. Find out, demand that you have these proper blood tests. On my website, in my newsletter, I not only have the correct optimal levels to look for and to address, also vitamin D levels, the levels that you want to be at, other things about your health in general, very important. I have an incredible amount of information about bioidentical hormones, etc. People need to be proactive and request and demand that they have these tests done. and it will change the way medicine is now. Being proactive will make a big difference in how your healthcare practitioner treats you. We are to inform and change how medicine is given now. It's really unfortunate that a lot of physicians are still stuck in the old schematic, the old world of medicine, and it's time for all physicians to know that there is more optimal medicine out there. Functional medicine is the medicine of the future. It's the medicine now that must happen for people to really become healthy and optimally functional. It's extremely important, and that's my aim, is to help people educate themselves and to empower them with tools to heal themselves.
Wow. Dr. Messer, thank you so much for joining me here today. This is a life-changing message. What a great show. Dr. Lucinda Messer, everyone. And again, go visit the website, sign up for the newsletter, get a copy of her book. I mean, my gosh, if you've missed any of the shows we've done on vitamin D, you're going to want to listen to the archives. Go to www.drlucinda.com for more information about the Dr. Pat Show. If you've missed any part of this transformative show tonight, go to drpatlive.com. Thank you, Dr. Messer. It's great, great having you on.
Thank you for having me, Pat. It was wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Wow. I'm telling you, thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. We've got lots planned for you. As I said before, get involved in One the Event. You know, this really is transformative. Go to onetheevent.org. Make sure you get the word out. You'll find out how you can participate. And don't forget, we're going to be broadcasting live. Dr. Messer will be part of that as well. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Pat Show.
You're stepping down your soapboxes. Too high, overgrown. You can barely see the ground or touch the sky. Your high horse is taken north and left to you. Nowhere to be found. Better off dead, or so you said. But don't worry, we all fall down somehow.
Oh, someday, not somehow. Maybe.